This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, once again, our favorite day of the week is Thursday, because that means it's time for Thursday Coast, as always, with our dear friend from the left coast, Marcos Melissas. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. We had a couple of nice, pretty days out here. Felt like I was out where you are, and then it started raining. So, you know, that's what happens. But other than that, hanging on in here. So I want to start with a topic that you and I used to cover more extensively, but the Daily Coast has not stopped covering, and that's the issue of Ukraine. You have a headline just yesterday: Ukraine's new deal with Trump is its best bet. Break that down for us, if you would, Marcos. That's interesting.
So we know Trump is pretty much a Russian spy at this point, right? I mean, he is working so hard to try and rehabilitate Vladimir Putin, just at a time when the Russian economy is on the verge of collapse. It is bleeding money. Its sovereign fund, its reserves are depleted because of the war in Ukraine. And there is Russia is nowhere near any kind of real victory in Ukraine, and it is bleeding. And and Trump just came in, and he's doing his best. He wants to give Putin a lifeline. He wants to he's talking about economic development in Russia. Like he's literally doing Putin's bidding for reasons that really make no logical sense. So a couple of weeks ago, Trump floated the idea of basically Ukraine paying the U.S. $500 billion in mineral reserves. Now, this is morally, it's outrageous. It flies in the face of the reasons we were helping Ukraine, which was a defense of a democratic nation against a tyrannical, expansionist, colonialist Russia. But given the reality of the fact that Trump is basically Putin's lapdog, if Ukraine could buy Trump's support, that would be what was best for Ukraine, given just the reality. Again, this is not an ideal situation. It's just a reality, the fact that we're stuck. Everybody's stuck with Trump for 4 years. So how do we make the best of that? And for Ukraine, the reality is that while Europe is, as from a GDP standpoint, from a population standpoint, it's equal to the United States, the reality is that they have things like universal health care and social spending. And so their militaries are nowhere near, their weapon stores are nowhere near the levels that the U.S. has, because we do not have universal health care and deep social spending. So Ukraine needs the United States, particularly if there's any hope of victory. It could hold out for 4 years. A lot of people are going to die, though. Hundreds of thousands of people would die riding it out. So the estimates are that Ukraine has about $15 trillion in mineral deposits. So if $500 billion was the price, I originally wrote 3 weeks ago, or whenever that was, two, 3 weeks ago, I was like, pay it. Particularly since Trump breaks deals all the time. Once you get a Democratic administration, you know, you can renegotiate that stuff, or they can just renege because it's Trump. So after that, the United States voted with Russia in the United Nations General Assembly, along with North Korea and other despotic regimes, on a bill so ridiculous that even China abstained and didn't vote in support of Russia. Trump called Zelensky, Ukraine's president, a dictator.
Right.
While refusing specifically to say that Putin was a dictator. He also said that Ukraine was a reason that Russia invaded. So it was just like one Kremlin talking point after another, puffing up Putin. The whole world's kind of looking, going like, what is happening? We're all thinking the same thing. It is absolutely embarrassing. It's just humiliating that now we're the bad guys, like we're Bond villains. And suddenly a couple of days ago, news came out that there was an agreement.
Right.
And in this agreement,
like, what is this? Right.
Because Zelensky actually called out Trump. He said, you're using Kremlin talking points. So they were sniping at each other. And suddenly there's a deal. And the deal does not include the $500 billion number. There's no number attached to it. And but it does say there's percentages, supposedly, that there's going to be a joint venture percentages. And, you know, Trump's all happy. I think he's got a deal because he loves his deal.
Deal. Hard to deal.
I don't know. There's no numbers attached to this thing. There's suggestions that the $15 trillion number is actually from Soviet era estimates, that there actually aren't real estimates, that rare earth minerals are very expensive to extract. So even if there's $15 billion, if it costs $18 billion to extract it, then there might not even be anything there. So we're not even sure what Trump is getting, but who cares? Like, he thinks he's getting it. Now, here's what's good about this deal, is that most of those minerals are in Russia-occupied Ukraine. Those minerals are the reason that Russia invaded Ukraine. It wanted those minerals. So if Ukraine can say, well, Donald, if you want those minerals, you got to give us the weapons so we can go and take that land back. So that's sort of kind of the brilliant element of this. There is no U.S. profiting off Ukrainian minerals in the current status quo of this war. Ukraine has to get that land back.
So now wait a minute now, because let me tell you what that sounds like to me. The minerals are in the area that Russia occupies, correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then is, and correct me if I'm going too far afield here. Does that mean that this is sort of a deal where you'll pay us? Trump is a middleman. This is a way to kind of redirect some kind of compensation back to Putin since he doesn't get that land. I mean, because what does the United States need with that money? What does the United States need with those minerals, as a matter of fact? Mm-hmm. Am I making any sense? That's what is peculiar to me. Is this a save face sort of a thing for Putin? Well, listen. They don't want to get a land up. You're occupying land. They want it back. So let's have them basically pay rent for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. It's a little. I mean, obviously, can we ever know what Trump is thinking? Because you know his brain is Swiss cheese at this point. Because Trump just this week said he'd be happy to also ink a mineral rights deal with Russia. And Russia is actually sitting on that territory with those minerals. So the ideal situation is just that Zelensky then says, all right, Mr. President, give us some Tomahawk missiles, give us all the armored vehicles, all the tanks, and we're going to get that land and we're going to win this war. And then you get the great, mighty America gets a prophet, and you get a big statue in the center of Kyiv, gold one, just like the Gaza one in that horrific AI video. We'll give you your gold statue in the middle of Kyiv if you give us $500 billion in military aid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the more you say it, it sounds like maybe even Zelensky has outsmarted them, you know?
Yeah, because there's nothing. There's Trump gets zero unless Russia loses the war.
And then you say that the mineral wealth is worth like trillions.
I mean, the estimates are $15 trillion, although some people are casting doubt. Not so much that the minerals exist, it's just that the cost of extraction, depending on what kind of deposits they are, might be so expensive that you're not actually earning $15 trillion. So you got to pay to extract it and to refine it and to do whatever it is you got to do to make it marketable.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you got $15 trillion, hypothetically, if that's what it is, 500, yeah. What is he paying, $500 billion or $500 million?
Well, no. It was originally $500 billion was the demand. They took the number out. So there's actually no number anymore.
And he's vague. He's on his way here, isn't he, to talk about this, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, I thought I heard Zelensky was coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah. So
we'll know more details tomorrow. Nobody's seen. I've been looking. Nobody's leaked it yet.
So putting that in the context of any negotiations that are supposed to be happening, which have been happening without Zelensky, I presume he's going to say, listen, I'm going to give you this cash, but y'all going to let me at the table or something, right? I mean, I can't imagine he's going to go along with not being at the table, the so-called peace negotiation table.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Trump's got this, his negotiating style right now, at least this time, is just to be belligerent, right? It's do what I want or I'm going to do tariffs. And he thinks that's negotiating as opposed to bullying and threatening behavior. And that's, I don't know. I didn't read The Art of the Deal, but I suspect that that's not what The Art of the Deal was about. If Trump wants that land, I mean, there's two ways he can go about it. He can go to Russia and he can say, get off that land or I will threaten, do whatever. Can't threaten tariffs because there's already a trade embargo on Russia. But maybe knowing Trump, he might say, I'll sign the same deal with you. And then whoever wins, you give me those minerals. He could do, I wouldn't put it past Trump to sign the same deal with Putin. But yeah. hopefully he's properly incentivized to actually, because what might happen is that Trump decides to be all belligerent with Russia and said, you know, get out. And maybe he'll try to come up with a quote compromise and say, you can keep Crimea, but you got to get out of Eastern Ukraine. And when Putin's like, nah, we're not leaving, then Trump gets all angry and actually starts flooding Ukraine with, and we're not talking about, I mean, the U.S. is sitting on like 5,000 Abram tanks, just sitting in a desert doing nothing, just in storage. You know, it's got another like 5,000 armored vehicles, Bradleys. The U.S. has a lot of surplus supplies. So even when you say we're providing you with $100 billion in military aid, really what you're doing is you're just pulling out old stuff from storage, and it actually saves the U.S. money because you don't have to pay to keep this stuff in storage anymore. That's all we're asking for. I mean, Ukraine's made great use of, you know, 30-year-old NATO equipment. Just empty out the stores. This is what Biden should have done and was too afraid to do it.
Why? Why, Marcos? Why was he afraid to do that?
Because Putin would do a red line and threaten nuclear war. And instead of calling his bluff, there was never going to be no freaking nuclear war because every red line has been busted. They weren't supposed to give money. You weren't supposed to do long range artillery. You weren't supposed to do long range rockets. You weren't supposed to send them F-16s. Each one of those was supposedly a red line by Putin that would lead to nuclear war. And none of them did. Of course not. Putin doesn't want to die in a nuclear holocaust. So he was afraid. He just was afraid. And then the other piece just is that the Biden administration and that sort of the his foreign policy crew was afraid of Russia breaking up. If Putin loses big and he is ousted, could Russia maintain the federation? Russia, just like the Soviet Union was a federation of 16 Soviet states, Russia is a federation of like 30 Russian states, and most of them have their own identity, their own cultures, their own, and a lot of them are Muslim. A lot of them are completely, you know, different religion. It could splinter, and everybody's afraid of what might happen if suddenly you have 13 new countries with nuclear weapons and unstable governments. And so Trump doesn't think that, right? Trump's not like, no. So there is a sense of dread at the unknown. And in foreign policy, you almost always like the devil, you know, to the devil you don't know. That's why, you know, Saddam Hussein was supported and Muammar Gaddafi. And like sometimes you're like, let's keep the murderous asshole in power because the alternative might of a failed state might be a lot more dangerous. And then when you're talking about Russia, you're talking about a country with nuclear weapons distributed throughout the entire landmass, and then you have the potential of multiple failed states, including some of them that might be radicalized Islamic states, suddenly have nuclear weapons.
And then that's not something that the CIA or the United States government wants.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know. I'm gonna mess with you. I don't know if you realize what you just said. When you were talking about the tanks, that may have been Freud, and you said that's all we were asking for. So clearly, we know your loyalty, which is good. I'm just messing with you.
Ain't 90 not. Yeah. Ain't never hit it. Never hit it.
No, I love it. He said that's all we're asking for, Marcus, tanks.
Yeah.
So if Mediaite, if Fox is watching, Marcos and Daily Coast want tanks, y'all. yeah, if only. But before we leave Ukraine, and it's good we're talking about this, because folks, honestly, the most consistent and prolific ongoing coverage of Ukraine has been with DailyCoast.com. It is not even covered in the mainstream anymore like it was in the beginning. Just to close that out, Macron was just here in the United States. Didn't really get to analyze what that was, but I know it was awkward. That's what I did see. Have you had a chance to assess where NATO is and how concerned they really are, or how nervous they really are about having a United States president in office who is a puppet, who is a foreign agent? I don't think he's ever going to go against Russia. I mean, I think you got to take it one day at a time. You're right. Mm-hmm. I trust you, because you've looked at this even more close than I have. If this helps Zelensky and Ukraine in the moment, okay. But you can never really fully trust them.
Nope.
You know, because he never ends up where he's supposed to be. He never pays you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were an attorney, Marcos, if you were an attorney, he wouldn't pay. He just does not do that with anyone. Mm-hmm. So never, 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 never. Even when it's easy in his best interest, he probably didn't even pay. If he goes to the hot dog stand, he probably figures out a way not to pay for that. So he's not going to do this either. What do you think this means for NATO? How nervous should NATO be? How nervous should we all? Because if NATO's nervous, we all should be nervous, right?
Yeah, there's a realization in Europe that you can't count on the United States anymore to help guarantee European security. France has extended its nuclear umbrella to all of Europe for the first time ever. There's a lot of talk about France and the UK. Both of them are nuclear powers. There's talk of them coordinating their nuclear arsenals. For example, a big part of Britain's nuclear arsenal is actually stored in Florida, interestingly enough. And so they're, you know, it's starting to realization. Well, we may want to bring our stuff back home. And there's talk about a European army and actually EU army. So some of this is actually not terrible because, quite frankly, I would like our defense budget to be smaller. And I would like that money spent on things like universal healthcare. So that would be okay. And Europe is more than capable of maintaining its core security. Now, that doesn't mean from an alliance standpoint that NATO is irrelevant, because the free world is stronger in the world where the democratic nations are militarily aligned. I would love to see that. But Europeans are realizing, and you know, Macron made a really great point before the election. It was like in October, where he said, Europe cannot be held hostage to the whims of some random voters in Wisconsin.
Hey, and hey,
he's right.
That's a word. That is a word.
And all of us are in this freaking boat. Like, we're stuck with it in this country. Europe does not need to be also stuck with it.
Wait a minute. I need to find that quote. Who said that again?
Macron.
Macron. Man, that is the quote of the decade. Europe is, I mean, who can even argue that? You can't even rebut that. Europe cannot be held to the whim of some voters in Wisconsin. Like, who would disagree? Oh, yes, I can. They actually can. No. Ooh, no. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely insane. So, yeah, that is...
All right, so here's the actual quote. We cannot leave the security of Europe in the hands of voters in Wisconsin every 4 years.
Mm-hmm. That just made my day. Wow. I mean, really, that is so succinct. And please send me that. That is so succinct and and profound in so many ways. So another thing that you mentioned was, you know, getting through 4 years or whatever and then renegotiating with another administration. And this is a long conversation. I'll just tease this out for the moment. Marcos, I don't think he's going to leave. I really don't. Now, our good friend Elie Mystal, the Supreme Court expert, he shared with me yesterday, he expects us to lose every single Supreme Court case, every single one, except possibly a birthright citizenship. He thinks they may hold on that. And he agrees. He doesn't think he's going to leave. And it doesn't even have to be anything other than he's just not leaving. And who's going to make him? Like, is there an army that's going to go and pull him out? Are there some red states that are just going to go ahead and put him on the ballot again, in spite of what's going on? Now, somebody else had told me that because the ERA was kind of unresolved, that the constitutional conventions from back then are still technically open, and they could easily be gone back into the repeal of the 22nd. Elie told me yesterday that's not true. So hopefully he's right about that. So it won't be as easy to have another constitutional convention. But
yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that. I could see them trying to make the claim that he can run for another term because the prohibition is against, you know, two terms next to each other, and which is bullshit. But I mean, there's no doubt he's not going to want to leave. I mean, he's calling himself a king.
Right.
And he's putting up gold statues of himself. And which, by the way, conservative forums are like pissed at that. I mean, it's idolatry, right? Like it's his Christian people are not happy with that. So there is, I think there's cracks. I think people are going to turn on him hard within the next 6 months. Once some of these cuts and firings and egg prices and all these and tariffs hit, and he's not going to be in a place of having any real popular support. So the question then is: Is the Republican Party going to go down with him or not? I still believe our institutions will hold enough.
Okay,
but I could be naive, but I just don't see a mechanism for him to stick around. And who would make him leave? I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, the courts order him out. It could be the sheriff. I don't know.
That'd be hilarious if he's evicted by some DC sheriff deputy.
The DC sheriff marshal's office. You got to go. Insane. Well, hopefully people will get rid of him. Marcos also has a piece about the folks, the MAGA people, not really being enamored with his self-glorification. And all you Christian nationalists, I mean, who kind of like to be Old Testament. You don't even have to read the Bible. Everybody saw Charlton Heston. So, and what happened with the cows, the golden calf. So, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, these are lots of contradictions.
And we only need 10% of Trump voters to sour on him. And most of them won't. I mean, let's just be very clear. It's a cult. 10 of them say, oof, that was the wrong thing. 10% of Trump voters, that's 6 million voters.
Yeah.
More, like 7 million voters. 10% of people who didn't vote, that's another 6-7 million.
Yeah.
If we can harness that, I mean, Republicans stand no chance. It'll be blowout. So
yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thursday Coast, ladies and gentlemen, Marcos Melissa. Be sure to go to dailycoast.com. Keep up with all the latest news and Marcos's analysis as well. Thanks as always, buddy.
Thanks so much. Catch you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.